This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
In the midst of a series we call Back to School, talking to area superintendents, Superintendent Don Wensley of the Camas Valley Charter School in today. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, glad to be here.
So how have things been going since the school year began?
We're off to a good start. You know, schools like anything else, try to get in a rhythm. And so that's been, you know, it's gotten off to a good start. We're getting ready tomorrow to have a really fun day. So we have our Beaver Duck dress-up day. Mm. So we're having some fun. Looking forward to that tomorrow.
And do you figure any kids will wear beaver clothes?
Oh, yeah. We'll have a lot more wear beaver clothes and duck clothes, of course. But
What do you mean, of course?
Well, we have an ongoing kind of fun thing going on at school. And my office has a little bit of orange and black in it. And kids will come into my office and put a big O in front of, you know, in front of me and have fun with that. So we have a great time with it.
All right. Well, very good. Now, did you guys begin before or after Labor Day?
We started after Labor Day. So we've only started one time before Labor Day. That did not go well. So people were so used to the after Labor Day in our community. And so we got together and decided that's what they wanted to do. So we moved that back to after Labor Day.
It's been kind of a 50-50 mix this year. It's interesting how that goes. How's enrollment looking compared to the last year?
We are pretty close to, like, right on, almost the exact same figures last year. So staying pretty even, and it's kind of been that way for the last few years.
And what percentage of your students live outside the district?
About 50%. So, you know, we have 50% from Camas Valley, and then we have a combination of, you know, Winston, Roseburg, and a few other communities in the area. So it balances out about 50-50.
Now, if you didn't have that option as a charter school, you've got kind of more room to do that, right?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about the charter is we don't have any boundaries. So, you know, if parents want to use our school for, you know, a certain reason, there's, you know, reasons why you enroll there, we can do that. So we've had people call from, you know, pretty far distances wanting to come to our school.
Well, I'm just thinking, if it's 50%, I mean, you think if your numbers were in half, you'd be structured very differently.
Well, yeah, I think that's why this, you know, the charter came into effect, you know, a few years back, and, you know, people took advantage of that to, you know, try to increase and take care of their budgets and enrollment and try to make things stable.
What attracts parents to move their student to a smaller district?
I think with us, it's, you know, we got a small class sizes. That's a lot of detail to attention to all the students. So nothing kind of really slips through the cracks. It's kind of nice. You know, with us, we focus on education. So we don't get into any strange stuff or anything like that nature. We just kind of stick to education and the character-based stuff. And that's kind of a draw what we have from the people in our area.
Now, how many staff do you have, both teachers and support?
We have about 51 total, so, you know, we have great staff, some longevity people have been there a long time. We have a few new ones this year, and then it's a great support staff with the IAs and classified people. You know, your school doesn't run well unless you have those people, and they're just a great group, so they're a blessing to have around.
The support staff, is it harder to find folks if they don't live in the immediate area?
Yes. So, and it's getting harder and harder in education to find people. This is my 32nd year, and I don't think I've ever felt stressed. You'd have, you know, when you have openings, you'd have a lot of applicants. Now it's, you know, smaller sizes of people that are, you know, interviewing, and so it gets a little worrisome at times. But we're lucky in our community, so we fill a lot of our staff people with people from Camas Valley.
And, I mean, as well, if you add, you know, the support positions are not the higher paid ones, and then you add a longer commute into the mix, that kind of impacts where people want to go, probably.
Yeah, that's more in our teacher part of that. I believe we only have a couple people, teachers, that live in Camas Valley. So it's kind of a different mix where most of our teachers come in from someplace else, and our support staff, most of them are in Camas Valley. But we try to do things, incentives, try to help them out a little bit, help with people that are driving a long distance, and, you know, try to take it easy on their schedules and, you know, be thoughtful of them.
Now, I asked about student enrollment. How many students do you have?
We're about 205 this year. So we have about 58 in high school. So that's kind of the breakdown, 100-something in elementary.
Now, if people aren't familiar with Camas Valley Charter, when we've had a number of people move into the area that tend to be centered right around Roseburg, talk about having K to 12 in one building, essentially, right?
Yeah, K to 12 is great. You get to know all of the kids. Now you get confused once in a while because you have them every year, and you're like, "Okay, what grade are you in now?" You got to kind of keep track of that a little bit. But it's a blessing. So I can walk out of my office. My office is right in the hallway with high school. I can walk downstairs. There's elementary part of that, and then we have outbuildings where we have our elementary and our middle school. So it's just kind of nice to all be on one campus.
And your main building is how old?
1928.
Wow. That is, I mean, obviously nearly 100 years old. Any challenges there?
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of work to take care of the building, but we've done that. We had a seismic upgrade a few years back and did a lot of improvements to the building during that time. And so we're always, you know, maintenance on the building to take care of them is always high priority for me, and we've done a good job taking care of that.
Now, the other buildings, are they modulars? Or?
Yeah, some of them are. So we have a few modulars on the property, but some of them are just buildings that have been built, gyms from the 1960s. You know, there's a couple of buildings that were built after that. So we've added on now and then, but it's kind of a combination of different kinds of buildings.
And there's challenges there because those buildings weren't set up for things like all the internet you need and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're always doing, you know, we're going, you know, we last year, for example, we put in an ag barn, which was down, it was a ways from our main building. We had to get access to the ag barn down across the property, across the football field to that ag facility. So there's always challenges, but you know, we always seem to get that done and make sure we have everything for the kids need.
Now, anything new in terms of programs this year or curriculum or things like that?
So program, we've been focusing on the last few years on our reading intervention in the grade school, and that is really paying off dividends. We have kids that are improving their reading skills, some 400 to 500 percentile, which is really, you know, a good figure. And this year we've kind of entered in some more math interventions in that area. And then high school, we put a lot of energy into the FFA program, the ag program, and the music program. So we've been focusing on those and growing those the last few years.
Now the ag program, that took a break, right? I mean, it had been there a long time ago, and then you brought it back, or?
Yeah, when I first got there, it was my sixth year now being there. When I came back, when I first got there, was no ag. They'd had it previous years, but during budget cuts, they had gotten rid of the ag program. So when I showed up there, I remember the first day we were walking on the property, just had been hired. My wife went with me and looked over, and there was this barn that was kind of breaking down a little bit, was deteriorating. And my wife looked at me and said, "Honey, ag." And she was right. You know, she had to put that bug in my ear. And so we redid the building and went from there.
And talk about the transformation of music.
So hired a full-time music teacher. That's been a blessing. So he's really good. He is involved preschool through 12, has programs, band and different instruments and training stuff throughout the different age groups.
That's got to be a challenge to work on when any curriculum, but I'm just thinking in terms of some of the fundamentals of music when you go from teaching a six-year-old to teaching a 16-year-old.
Yeah, it's a skill set you have to have. It's organization. It's making sure you know which group's coming in, because he could go from 1 minute and he can have the preschoolers doing music, and the next minute he could have high school. And so he does a good job balancing that and building and having a vision for the program.
All right, going to take a break in Inside Douglas County. More when we come back to Back to School Series. Superintendent Don Winsley, Camas Valley Charter School. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. alongside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt at 4 o'clock on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. We'll talk to Glide School Superintendent Robert Freeman as we continue the Back to School series. Don Wensley from Camas Valley Charter School in with us this afternoon. What is maybe the biggest challenge you're looking at as the school year is just underway?
Staffing is always, you know, that's kind of a new one in education, I believe, trying to integrate everybody together, get everybody on the same page. We focus a lot on education. We've done a lot of training with our teachers and showed the statistics of relating relationship and how to be effective with kids. The more they know you care about them, you know, the better you are and the more effective you are as an educator. So trying to get on that page, get everybody going the same direction, you know, that's been a it's a challenge to get that all going in the right way.
Now, remind me, do you guys do a 4-day week or five?
Four.
And so, why is that?
I think back when it first happened, it was one of those a cost cutting thing. And once you get into four, everybody seems to really enjoy it. So I did a SIA survey about 5 years ago. One of the options was doing an extra day of school, and I only got 4% that wanted that. So at that point, it kind of showed me that they liked that 4-day schedule.
How are you able to get enough of, because you've got to do the same number of curriculum or teaching in hours, right?
Yeah, so we go a little bit longer in the day, and then we just make sure we're very organized in how it's laid out. We try to be very efficient. We just got done laying out a whole schedule with our IAs, going from one place to the next, how that works. And the more efficient you are, the more you can get in and get done.
And I suppose for a small district where in sports you have to travel a lot, that's probably advantageous on Fridays.
Yeah, we just, you know, travel's always, you know, hard on the kids. You know, it's nice on Fridays too. You know, if we have something on Friday and there's no school, it's easier on the kids to travel and do that. But they're always working. Teachers are well aware of the schedule. They have all the sports schedules and make sure they're working with coaches and everybody to make sure we're not putting a lot of burden on the kids. We want them to be successful, you know, on the courts and fields, but also, you know, obviously as students.
How do you do sports in such a small district? I can imagine you probably can't offer every sport that you might be at a bigger high school.
So, yeah, you know, 1A school, so we offer, you know, we have, you know, the basic fall, we have volleyball, we have football, and so, you know, we get those basic sports, so we don't have a lot of variety, but we try to, the kids are really committed to, Camas Valley, for example, is a football school, that's our main sport, has been for years, 6 state championships in that area, so the kids have grown up playing in youth leagues, playing football, and they're passionate about it.
Now, when you talk about working with teachers, how important do you feel like professional development is? How do you make that happen there?
So, well, we have a PD day once a month, and then we're just always looking for opportunities for the teachers to improve. So I think that's one of those things as an educator, you never know enough. You can always get better. There's always new data out there and what can make you effective. So we're always working with the teachers to make sure they have that information. And then we communicate a lot. What do you need? So trying to just not make decisions as administration, but also to have the teachers involved in what they'd like.
So many things have changed in education with technology and with a lot of different changes in curriculum and all of that. It would seem like almost professional development maybe is a bigger thing to do than it used to be.
Yeah, it's, you know, keeping up with the trends, you know, IA stuff and different things that are going on and how to deal with the technology. There was an article I read about 3 or 4 years ago that said once you've taught something in technology, by the time you integrate it and get going, it's almost outdated. So that's how fast it's moving. So trying to keep up with that and trying to make things that are effective and not only for the teachers, but also for the students.
Yeah, in fact, one of the ones I mentioned the other day, because of IA, apparently a lot of people that are coders in the industry are losing jobs right now because that's moving that direction. Yet it wasn't that many years ago that everybody was pushing, you know, kids into coding. So many things are moving awfully fast.
Yeah, it's always changing. In fact, today in superintendent meeting, you know, we had this discussion a little bit about, you know, what to do with IA, how it works, how to make it effective, and it's new. So, you know, how do you use that in a school? is you know, the question, and trying to make that useful for everybody and make it a positive thing.
Now, you mentioned being at a superintendent's meeting. How often do you guys meet?
We meet once a month. So get together, talk about issues that are going on, have an agenda. And so it's a good time when we get together. It's a great group in Douglas County. We send each other emails asking each other's questions and helping each other all the time. So it's a good group that collaborate and, you know, enjoy each other.
So is that something under ESD, or how does that work?
They organize it. So they organize the meeting, and we kind of go through them a little bit with that. But it's just like I said, it's a great communication tool to use. And, you know, superintendents, well, you know, having this issue, how does this work? What have you done with this? So those kind of things that we're always kind of bouncing things off of, trying to help each other.
And there are some superintendents that have been here in the area, been superintendents for a long time. There are other people that are maybe new to that role or newer to the area.
Yeah, you know, you walk into a superintendent meeting and you're looking at faces, and sometimes, you know, people you've known for years, and then there's new ones. And so you kind of hope they have their school stuff on so you can tell where they're from. But they'll, you know, we kind of go around, today we had introductions of introducing some new people. So and they get right in the swing of things, and we show, you know, tell them what we have for them and how we can help. And so it's just like I said, just a good group that helps each other.
Now, is Camas Valley able to do some partnerships with UCC or other colleges?
So we do our online stuff through UCC, and then we also use KCC, which is Klamath Community College. So we use both of those in our program. So the kids are involved, a lot of Friday stuff they did last year and those programs they have going on there. And so a lot of college stuff we run through those two programs.
And why do you think that's important?
It's just, well, for our kids, it's free college. We pay for the tuition. The kids can, you know, we've had some students graduate with, you know, tons of hours, almost, you know, ready for their associate's degree before they get out of high school. So it's just a benefit for them to be involved and take advantage of those things we have available.
And do you see that, those kinds of partnerships with colleges expanding?
Yes, UCC's doing a great job. They've expanded their programs. They've been, last few years with the new president, they've been more, you know, more involved with the high schools in the area, have made a lot more things available, and are focused on the needs of our kids here in Douglas County.
What is the hardest part of being a superintendent in a small charter school?
Oh boy. For me, I carry both the superintendent and principal role. So when you are a small school, you deal with everything. So you deal with the superintendent part, the principal part, the facilities manager. Talked about facilities earlier. Well, guess who deals with facilities? I get to deal with that, and I love that. I love trying to take care of things and seeing what's going on. But it's all encompassing. So it's not like I have multiple staff people that deal with a bunch of different areas. I get to deal with everything, and that's challenging. So, but also it makes a fun day. You know, each day is never, it's always a different day, something new each day.
I imagine it makes for some long days.
Yeah, it's I lose some sleep once in a while. So trying to figure things out, make things work, and take care of people. You know, you're not only dealing with facilities, you're dealing with students, and, you know, you're dealing with staff, and you're dealing with issues. And then when you know, it's people you're dealing with. It's a people business. And so I had a student from previous school I was at call me up. She's 21. She's dealing with a returning cancer for the third time. You know, and you love your kids, you take care of them, you're involved in their lives, and you know, it's challenging, but it's rewarding also.
What's the best part of your job?
The kids. Just absolutely love the kids. I have stayed in small schools because I can stay connected easier that way. You know, like I said earlier, my office is in a hallway. The kids are coming in to see me all the time, and I just love that part of it. You know, 32 years, it's never boring. I mean, it's always something new with the kids, and I love them.
Superintendent Don Wensley, Camas Valley Charter School, thanks for coming in.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.